Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 339, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my earnest cry, thy listening ear has heard. With thy salvation answer me, and I will keep thy word. And what follows, Psalter 339, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 23, the verses 1 through 25. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 23, the first 25 verses. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidden to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether this man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast granted unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day, and when it displeased thee to spare us for another week, may we be given to see thy hand therein, where there have been other Lord's Days recently and in the past, where it has been so different, and then we are all living testimonies of thy goodness and of thy long suffering, and where thou hast not only spared the brittle thread of our lives, wherever we were called to be, but then in the midst of all the trials and the troubles of life, then thou hast showered us with many an undeserved blessing, and then we do well at times to be given to pause and to count those blessings one by one, and humbly ask thee that it may be all thy goodness that may bring us at poor sinners continually at thy feet, needing the pardoning in the precious blood of thy dear Son. And when we may have a little impression whom have been the recipients of those blessings, Lord, should there then not be humility and bewilderment, but then we must also confess our great sin, that we take so much for granted, thinking we have a right thereto, so little impression of our sinnership, and that we are such unthankful creatures. Then also when thou wast given another Sabbath day, then we ask thee for the pardoning of those sins. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for a rich blessing upon thy holy word. In this hour, do come down with thy spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood. And where in these weeks thy church may be given to meditate upon the suffering, the passion of thy dear Son, that thy church may and shall be saved. Then it is the work of thy Spirit to work that need, Lord. Thou knowest how deeply we have fallen, how poor and wretched we are of self. But now the wonder of grace that thou art gathering and quickening thy church by word and by spirit, do show in this morning unto the unconverted, young and old, how poor and wretched they are, and the very dangerous condition, and only one step between us and death, and that there is one thing needful, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Lord, then it is thy work to work the need for that passion, but also to reveal it, to show the riches thereof, and also the application. Wilt thou grant unto thy souls to be loved with that precious love, comforted with precious promises, to be redeemed by thy precious blood, and to be justified by precious faith. And to that end the apostle has declared, unto you whom therefore believe, he is precious. Impress it upon the hearts the necessity of the saving knowledge by thy Spirit of the dear Son of God, where thou wast written, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Wilt thou richly bless thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth on this Sabbath day, even to the remotest corners of the earth, under persecution, under all circumstances. We also commend unto thee the many temporal needs. Lord, do remember all the mourning ones in our midst, that they be not swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee all, and ask for strength and courage for the way, and above all, that all the solemn callings, that they may be richly sanctified by thy Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee the handicapped daughter, in this week hoped, perhaps, that she could return to her dwelling, but the physicians have indicated a complex case, and to that end we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding from above, that there may be means that may be blessed, and above all, where thou continuest to call, my daughter, give me thy heart, and may it be used for her conversion. Then she could say, it was good for me to be afflicted. Wilt thou uphold and strengthen parents and the family circle? We commend unto thee all those that are under the physician's care, undergoing treatments, many fears and many concerns. May their eyes be upon thee, and wilt thou grant tokens of thy favor, and may it be for the saving of souls. We commend unto thee one of thy servants, whom has been laid on a bed of affliction, O Lord. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant unto the physician's wisdom, that there may be means in the midst of the fears awaiting for results, but that thou may remember him for his congregation and in the midst of our theological school. We remember all the crosses and all the burdens, and Lord, when there are not so many trials and so many afflictions, when the family circles have been spared hitherto, may there be those times that they may be given to pause and consider all thy mercies, where thou maketh a difference where there is no difference, and that it may be thy blessings and thy goodness that bindeth closer to thy word and to thy throne. Lord, in this morning hour, may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help, and open thy precious testimony? Wilt thou remember the listeners? O, go from heart to heart, and from bench to bench, and also go from dwelling to dwelling. Remember those that are sick in their dwellings. Grant them healing and a blessing. Wilt thou graciously remove everything that could be a hindrance in this morning? Give a little rest in thy house. Bind the devil and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of our great and many sins in thought, word, and deed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 4, the 5 stanzas. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage, and kings and rulers strive in vain, against the Lord of earth and heaven, to overthrow Messiah's reign? And what follows? Psalter 4, the 5 stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 23, the verses 8 through 12. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before the word enmity between themselves. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ before Herod the Tetrarch, with three thoughts. In the first place, Jesus welcomed by Herod. Secondly, Jesus examined by Herod. And in the third place, Jesus dismissed by Herod. Jesus Christ before Herod the Tetrarch. Jesus welcomed by Herod. Jesus examined by Herod. And Jesus dismissed by Herod. Beloved congregation, 'tis not exactly all recorded in the scriptures, but the general thought is that it was around midnight when the Roman band led by Jesus has come to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ to put him to death. And where Jesus has spoken those precious words, "If ye seek me, let these go their way, O blessed people," that may be included in those words. And all my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to beg much, that you may belong to that blessed people, because then it is well for time and for eternity. And then when they have laid their filthy hands upon the innocent Jesus, then they have first taken him to the house, to the palace of Annas the high priest, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, to there to be examined while the Jewish leaders would try to gather as much as possible the majority of the Sanhedrin together, that he may condemn him and that he may be put to death. And then in the house of Annas, then he was examined concerning two points, concerning doctrine and the disciples. Oh, who are they, thy disciples? Are they faithful disciples? Why are they not present? Ah, then Jesus, he has not answered concerning his disciples. And now concerning his church, we read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, for an unfaithful church that sent everything away, that continually ruin everything then he remaineth faithful, and then concerning his doctrine, then he has told them that he has declared that doctrine continually in the temple among the people. Then the Sanhedrin, at least a good part, was gathered together in the middle of the night watches, perhaps 3 o'clock. There's not written, recorded in the scriptures. And then he was examined, false witnesses, and they did not agree, was accused concerning the temple. And then finally Caiaphas is asked to confirm with an oath whether he was the Son of God. And then he is answered, O the Lord Jesus Christ, with the false accusations he was silent. But when it concerned his sonship and the honor of his father, then he has spoken. And then the Sanhedrin has agreed that he was guilty of death. Then in the midst of the Sanhedrin, then they have examined him concerning his divinity, concerning his priesthood, and concerning his prophetical office, because they have blindfolded him, they have smitten him, and they have said, Who was smitten thee? And then in the early morning hours, then they have gathered the whole Sanhedrin together, and then they have agreed that he must hastily be put to death, if possible, before the multitudes would arise, because there was great multitudes in Jerusalem, because it was the celebration of the Passover. But then it is clearly declared, Father Jacob in Genesis 49, the verses 8 through 10, has prophesied concerning the Shiloh before the scepter would depart. And then it is evident when Christ was born that the scepter was beginning to depart, but that it had not fully departed, but with the death of Christ, then it was further departing, because they were not allowed to put any to death except with permission from the Romans. And to that end, in the early morning hour, then they have hasted with Jesus to the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate. And then Pontius Pilate has come outside, and then they wished that he would quickly condemn him. But Pontius Pilate has asked concerning accusations. And then the Jewish rulers, they have come with 3 special accusations. In the first place, that he perverteth the nation, that he causes rebellion. In the second place, that he refused to give tribute to Caesar. And in the third place, that he said that he was the King of Israel. And boys and girls, how many of those accusations were true? Then, of course, the first 2, they were false. And the second was truth. And when we consider the Gospels, all 4 Gospels, then concerning Pontius Pilate and concerning Herod, that was the crucial point, whether he was truly the King of Israel. And then Pontius Pilate, we can read it in John 18, the last verses, that Pontius Pilate has taken him inside and asked concerning his kingship. And then Christ was given to declare that his kingship was not an earthly kingdom. And Pontius Pilate could understand it, because if he was an earthly king, then his own people would not have delivered him up, but that his kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. And then Pontius Pilate has come outside with that precious testimony, that he found no guilt in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the innocent Lamb of God. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. Oh, in the time of the Passover, then such a lamb would have to be examined, whether there was any blemish, and if there was any blemish, then that lamb could not be sacrificed as the Passover lamb. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, no blemish, no original and no actual sin, but the Father has laid upon him, as is written in Isaiah 53, the sins of all his people. And therefore, as the Passover lamb, he would be sacrificed to satisfy justice and to save his church. And then there were those that have cried out that he has come from Galilee. And when Pontius Pilate heard it, then he seen it as a way that he could be delivered out of his difficulty. Oh, Pontius Pilate, he was halting. He was convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent, that they have delivered him over for envy, and yet he also want to please the people. And when we are like Pontius Pilate, then we have a difficult life. Then we shall only come into more difficulties that Pontius Pilate has experienced. Then we and our children, then we need to continually to ask the Lord that we may be given to stand according to this word, thus saith the Lord. And so in the early morning hour, to the disappointment of the Jewish leaders, because they hoped that Jesus could be put to death before most of the multitude is risen, but the Passover lamb must be sacrificed publicly. That is for the instruction and for the comfort for the church of Jesus Christ. And so in our text words we read that they have led Jesus, and that he has come to the palace of Herod. He was the ruler over Perea and Galilee. But it is written that at the Passover feast that he was also present in Jerusalem. And to that end, then he was brought to Herod. Who was Herod the king? He was the son of Herod the Great, who was murdered the children of Bethlehem. And with the death of Herod the Great, then the land of Canaan was divided into different parts. And then the Herod of our text, then he has received Galilee and Perea. And now this Herod, he was married, but he fell in love with his brother Philip's wife, and he has married her. And then John the Baptist, as a faithful ambassador upon the walls of Zion, then he has warned, has admonished Herod, that it can and it may not be. And then the end was that John the Baptist was put in prison, and our children know the history. On a certain day, that Herodias, that she has danced, and Herod has asked what she desired, and the end was that John the Baptist was beheaded. And yet there are remarkable things written about this Herod, because we read in Mark 6, verse 20, and Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, then Herod was given to see that John the Baptist was not only with words, but a very godly life. And when he heard him, he did many things. And we even read in Luke 9, the verses 7 through 9, and now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed. And that concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. But now first concerning Mark 6, verse 20, that he heard him gladly. And although he was living in sin, he was convinced that John the Baptist was telling the truth, honestly and lovingly admonishing him, and he did many things. Thus it was not that Herod despised John the Baptist. No, he even gladly heard him. We would say, boys and girls, that he sat in church. Of course, he did not sit in church. It was more personal. But there are remarkable things, and those words were not without any effect. John the Baptist or Herod did not say concerning the preaching of John the Baptist, those are words for other people. No, he applied them to himself, and he did many things. But what was now missing, congregation? How do we compare to Herod? When we read the word, when we hear the word, does that also have an effect and influence on our life? That we do many things, that we leave many sins, and that we search the scriptures diligently, and yet that one word that is a crucial word. Then Herod did many things. He did not do all things. He did not forsake his special sin and a special lust. His lust was too strong. Thus to do many things, but still to hold onto one sin or a few sins, that was the downfall and destruction of John the Baptist. And now it is very clear that Herod did not walk so easy over the earth, because John the Baptist was beheaded, that he still had a speaking conscience. And now Herod has heard that in Galilee another prophet has risen, preached, done many miracles. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Thus a very troubled conscience, undoubtedly by day and by night, because he had not stood firm, but he has given orders that John the Baptist, whom he heard speak so many times, who has admonished the king, he was beheaded, and that troubled conscience has followed him. And now he has heard that in Galilee another prophet has risen, wondering whether it was even John the Baptist. And then we read and he desired to hear him. And now suddenly in this morning, when the multitude, when the leaders, they have come to the palace of Herod, and then he was given to see Jesus, given to see that Jesus was not John the Baptist, who was risen from the dead. He desired to hear him, but it was not for the saving of a soul. Because we read that he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And we do not read, although Herod had a desire, he has heard of another prophet. We do not read that Herod has went to seek him out, to sit under his preaching, then undoubtedly he would have seen some of his miracles, thus a certain desire, but still no action, not taking the effort to go out to hear and to see him. But now in this morning hour, then Jesus has appeared before him. And then we read, because he had heard many things of him, but Herod, still as king, a troubled conscience, certain desires, but he did not need Jesus as a savior for his never dying soul. How do we compare with Herod, congregation? Of course, a blessing when we may gladly hear the word, a privilege when we do many things, that we do not follow the world with all its wickedness and all its foolishness. Still a blessing when we may still have a speaking conscience, when special messengers come unto us, providential messengers, because they also speak in special ways. But still to be a Herod, that we need the Lord for our temporal needs, we still pray unto the Lord that he may help us, our family circles, but that we do not need him as a savior for our souls, and at the bottom, that we are enemies of free and sovereign grace, and of the King of Kings, and of the Lord of Lords. We have sung together, and there Herod was also included out of solemn too. Why do the heathens rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us cast his cords from us and break his bands asunder. And we read in Acts 4, verse 27, of the apostles that it is clearly written, and of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Thus two kings are mentioned, the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together against the holy Jesus. And have we, by the grace of God, now ever placed ourselves with that multitude? to learn by nature that we are enemies of grace and enemies of His dear Son, and that it is our sins that have brought Him to the cross. We read in Psalm 22, verse 12, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. A meeting between Herod and the Lord Jesus Christ and congregation. Each time we come up to God's house, then it is also a meeting with the Lord, a meeting with the Word. And what fruit does it bear? How is it? Our second thought, Jesus examined by Herod, let us first sing. Psalter 255, the stanzas 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at His feet. And what follows, the extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 255, the stanzas 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ before Herod the Tetrarch. Jesus welcomed by Herod. And now secondly, Jesus examined by Herod. What a deep humiliation for the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he was led as a bound criminal through the streets of Jerusalem, and after appearing before Pontius Pilate, was brought before Herod the king. And then we must always remember, hope to hear thereof in this evening hour. It is true, a great humiliation, a very deep bodily suffering stood before him, and also to be falsely accused when he was so perfectly innocent. But the greatest part of his suffering was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has spoken thereof that the Father has given him a cup so full of wrath concerning the sins of his people, and that he was called upon to carry that cup and to drink it empty to the last drop. And in that condition and in that state, he also appeared before Herod to experience the heavy wrath of his father against the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And now Herod felt greatly honored that Pontius Pilate has sent Jesus unto him. And then we read, then he questioned with him in many words, undoubtedly concerning his origin, concerning his work, his words, and his wonders. But we do not read. Oh, if that had been the case, if a Herod, as a murderer, as the chief of sinners, if he had not fallen down before Jesus as a hell-worthy, as a lost sinner, and says, Jesus, is there now a way for such a great sinner as I am, where I have murdered the prophet of the Most High, I have beheaded him, and such a troubled conscience, a heavenly high debt. Oh, is there now a way for such a Herod to be saved? Oh, if the question of that people of Pentecost, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And also the petition of the jailer, oh, in the scripture, ah, for poor and needy sinners that have experienced the exceeding sinfulness of sin. No, it does not mean that we have to break out in sin, but when in the mirror of God's holy law and by the light of the Holy Spirit, then God's people shall experience what sinners they are, and when they may come at the throne, oh, it is true, it can be tried, it shall be tried and tested. But what beautiful examples we have in the Bible. But so it was not in the life of Herod. He desired to see a miracle done by him. And now we read, then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Fulfilling prophecy, what we read in Isaiah 53, the verses 6 and 7, that as a lamb is led to the slaughter, as a sheep is dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth, because they were false accusations. A murderer, he was not worthy for an answer. And to that end, Jesus also before Herod, concerning those false accusations, then he answered Herod not a word. And there the rulers have stood. They have heard it. They have witnessed it. And they had the fear. They were bound that Jesus must early be put to death. And undoubtedly they feared when Jesus answered nothing, that perhaps Herod would pronounce him innocent and even set him free. And to that end, we read, and the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. But Jesus remained silent. Oh, that blessed silence of a Jesus. He was also silent concerning the wrath of his Father. He was the willing servant of the Father. He has agreed that his church, that his bride, was a black bride with many sins. And therefore, we have heard it out of the Heidelberg Catechism that he has stood before Pontius Pilate, and in between he has also been sent to Herod. And therefore, oh, that holy silence, Father, it is just the sins of my bride, they are so great. And they are so black. I have agreed in the Council of Peace to be the Passover lamb. And therefore, Father, here I am. I am ready to go to the cross. Oh, that silence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a silence in which he has merited much for his people, that the Lord, for needy and poor sinners, that he need not to be silent because justice has been satisfied, and therefore in that silence of Jesus he has merited the comfort for his people. Oh, in that silence of Jesus, he has merited the spirit of liberty for his people, as I read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. And then what has Herod done? When he has not received his desire, when Jesus has not done a miracle, when Jesus remains silent, then it is turned into mockery and ridicule. Because then we read, and Herod with his men of war, thus under the direction of Herod and the men of war, the soldiers set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Thus Herod did not receive his wish, his desire, and then it turned to enmity, to ridicule, and to mockery. How is it with our religion congregation? When the Lord grants us prosperity, when the Lord answers prayers and goes quite well, but what when the Lord holds different ways with us? How is it then? Then we have to ask that we do not do as a Herod. Herod had no impression what he deserved, what he was worthy of. Herod had a deeper impression that he was a murderer than he would have realized that he desired nothing. When the Lord holds contrary ways, then we need to ask the Lord that we rise not up against him in rebellion and even further, because there have been those when the Lord has come with adversity, not only enmity, but that they have even begun to mock with the holy things of the Lord. What a humiliation. What a love of Christ for his people. That Jesus, before Herod the king, that he was willing to be mocked, the gorgeous robe, no, they have not honored him. They have not glorified the King of Kings, but they have done it in the way of mockery. We have stated concerning the judgment of Jesus, then it especially concerned his kingship, and then Herod and the men of war. In their thoughts, he has stated that he is the King of Israel. Then we shall make him a mocking. But we do not read of one in that hall when Jesus has appeared before Herod, that there was one that is bowed before the king in truth and uprightness. There was not one in that place that needed and loved the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. How is it with us, congregation, these Passion Weeks? Are we exercised therewith? Do we need that precious Savior as our surety? Are we exercised that not only for the first time, but continually? Think of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, O exercised with the need, but also the depth, the willingness, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to be so humble. so silent unto him. He could have asked, he has revealed it already in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, the hardness of the heart. We would think undoubtedly a few at least of those soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane that have fallen backwards but weren't able to arise, that they would have such an adoration and such a respect for Jesus that also in the hall of Herod that there would have been those that it would have been written that there were at least a few, at least one, that was given to adore the king. But we do not read it. But how is it with us? Under the word, under all the providential callings, has the Lord not spoken in special ways to us as a people, in a special way to the youth? How is it concerning the King of Kings? Because when the Lord works, then we come under him as prophet. Then we are instructed in the things of the Lord. The Lord's love shed abroad in our heart. And then we choose him as king. Then we choose for the king's word, his law, his ways, his people, his house, and his day. And then we need to be led into his priestly office. Our third thought, Jesus dismissed by Herod. And Herod with the men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. What a solemn dismissal. It is true. He has dismissed Jesus with a message, because when he has appeared before Pontius Pilate and Pontius Pilate has spoken to the audience, then Pontius Pilate has said, behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Thus he has dismissed what he has found out, that he has found no guilt, but he has dismissed him after mocking with him, making him a mocking, and not asking to be saved. What a solemn dismissal. Was the last time was a special meeting. Herod with Jesus was a very personal meeting, a very close meeting. But now he has dismissed him. Was the last meeting. John Bunyan has written in a certain place concerning a people, concerning the day of grace, that it is over before the end of their life. What a solemn moment it was. for Herod the king to dismiss Jesus in such a way after everything he has experienced, the preaching of John the Baptist, heard him gladly, did many things, troubled conscience, perplexed when he heard of another prophet that has done such wonders, wondering whether John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and then such a special and personal meeting with Jesus, and then to dismiss him. Last time we read that there was a personal meeting. Oh, the next meeting that shall be on the great day of judgment, then Herod shall also be there when the trumpet is blown. And then Herod shall stand on the left side. Which side shall we stand in congregation? That depends upon how it is with the meetings here below with the Lord. The Lord meets us each day in his providence. The Lord meets with us when the Bible is opened in the family circle and personally. The Lord meets with us with special providential callings. Also his goodness. And the Lord meets with us in a special way in his house where God's word may be expounded. And what do we now do with Jesus? Must we still say with Pontius Pilate, what must they do with Jesus? No need. No desire. Oh, when that is the case, oh, do beg the Lord that you may be spared to do as Herod. Beg the Lord that he may convert you and that you may become a poor suppliant. And for those poor suppliants, oh, are they in my midst. Poor and needy sinners that have learned that they cannot save herself, and to place herself in the midst of that multitude, Jew and Gentile, of course a privilege, when we do not stand on the front, but a lost son and daughter of Adam. Oh, when we cannot save ourselves, oh, for such, there are written such different things. Those sinners that come, all their needs, what their soul's needs, with their sins, and say, Lord, thou knowest all things, that I love thee, but I cannot miss thee. And my sins, tried so hard, cannot pay, they rise up against me. With the simple prayer of the publican, and such shall not be sent away. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of a solemn meeting, and then we have heard of a departure. When we come up to thy house, then we may also meet with thee. And we are ready to leave one another. Ah, Lord, may there be many prayers, Lord, leave and forsake us not. Keep us from being like a Herod. Keep us at thy throne. Keep us beside thy word. And with the prayer of the publican, beginning but in continuance, God be merciful to me, a sinner, ah, Lord. Thou hast written in thy holy word, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, magnify thy wonders in the midst of all the callings in the hearts of us and our dear children. Well, to grant traveling mercies on this day, may we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Help fathers and mothers to worship thee with their children, and return us in this evening hour, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 3 and 4. Ever and forever shall his name endure. Long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. At the male members' meeting held April 1, Mr. Case van de Breinhost was chosen as elder and has accepted this office. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before April 11. This is the second announcement. And the Paul magazine is at the exit. Psalter 200, 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.